Couple of things I failed to mention earlier. We will be canceling services tonight in honor of Mother's Day. So please, if you have your mother, please spend the day with her. Let her know how important she is to you and to us. And also, I failed to mention and thank all those that came out yesterday for our work day. We did a lot of things we weren't used to doing, and we're all suffering for it, or at least a little tender today. Joe says he's okay. Sammy climbed around in a tree for quite a while, so I know he's hurting some. And I'm a little bit sore, but in a good way. I felt like I got a good workout. That was it. But I thank everybody that came out. We did get a lot done. And Pam made the front of the building just beautiful up here. At one time I walked by and her face was so red she worried me. But we did have a lot of fun. I always enjoy those days. I really do. It's most of the time we meet in this environment, don't we? And it's so nice to be outside and doing things like that together. We had a good time, a lot of laughs. And I thank all of you that took part in that. This morning I'm going to be reading from Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 1 and 2, and Luke, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7. And if you want to look those up, you can, but I'm sure Jeff will bring them up on the screen for us here in a little while. We're going to get to those in just a little bit. But the title of the sermon this morning is simply, Thank God for Mom. Thank God for Mom. And if we haven't, we should. Because without her, we wouldn't be here, would we? I know I've said this before, but if it was left up to us guys to have children, you know where we'd be, don't you? Extinct. We would be extinct. We would. I've been there and I've witnessed quite a few births, and I know that there wouldn't be any of us left. So we need to thank God for Mom. We really do. I know I've talked about this before, but preaching on holidays can be the easiest and at the same time the most difficult sermons to create, to put together, and to preach. Easy because the holiday gives you the topic. So you don't have to work at that. You know what the topic is going to be. Difficult, because after enough holidays that we shared together, and enough of them have passed by, it gets tougher to say something new about the topic. To top it off, not all of us have the same perspective about the holiday, do we? For instance, some of us might have lost a loved one on a particular holiday. Or in this instance, we may have lost the loved one that the holiday pertains to. Many of us sitting here this morning have, as Gary mentioned earlier. And when that happens, it kind of forever changes how we view the day, doesn't it? I assure you, those who claim to be experts about such things, they are continually warning us pastors to tread lightly on such special occasions. You just open up your email and there's two or three warnings. You see it all the time. They're telling us to be careful on these days. And Mother's and Father's Day are probably two of those most special occasions that they warn us about the most often. Because not all of us has or has had the same parent-child relationship, have they? Not all of us have. I understand that. I really do. Let me say this before we go any farther. Regardless of the relationship that we have or that we have had with our mother, motherhood, when it is as God has designed it to be, is as close to our relationship with God Himself as any I have seen on the planet. You agree with that? You all understand what I said? Motherhood. When it is as God has designed it to be, is as close to our relationship with Him as any on the planet. Want to see a little lady about 5 foot tall turn into a tiger about 10 foot tall? Mess with her child. Moms, when they are as God has designed them to be, will go, it's not even fair to say above and beyond. They will give everything they have. And I'm not knocking dads. Dads are the same way. When we are is when God has designed us to be. And honestly, moms and dads both fit in a place, in a family. And God has designed us to fit in that place. And it's important. It's important that we get into God's Word and we find out where that place is. Because it's the best shot that our children have to move into society and be happy, to understand who Christ is if when we fulfill the role that God has given us, the purpose that God has given us. Let me say this too. A lot has changed since I preached the first time some 24 years ago. For one thing, God's made it physically easier for me to do so. I used to just get sick as I could be. I'd be so stressed out that I'd just about pass out to get up here. I don't think I could have continued on like that. He had to make it easier. I don't think I could have withstood that stress. But the truth of His Word hasn't changed at all in the last 24 years. I know we have to be careful. I know we don't want to intentionally hurt anyone. I would never want to do that. But the truth of His Word is still the truth. And motherhood, when it is as God has designed it, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. The truth of His Word will never change, but along with being careful, I also understand that there is something that can change, and that is my desire for this message to always be His truth. I understand that it can change because I'm human. God forbid that it ever does, and I pray if it does that He take me out of the pulpit. I pray that I never come up here for any reason but that the fact that He called me to do so, and the fact that He's lifted up in it. And if I do it for any other reason, I pray He take me home. Okay, with all that drama being said, this morning, let's make an effort not to focus on the things which separate us, our relationships that we might or might not have had with our mother, but let's endeavor to focus on those things in which we have in common and which can bring us both closer together and closer to God. God has allowed every one of us here this morning to have a mother. Hasn't He? Our live presence here this morning proves that we all have that in common, right? And as we understand that our life is evidence of our living, may we also please understand, and I hope agree, that our life is a gift from God. If you're alive here today, if you're not, please raise your hand. If you're alive here today, you've been given a gift from God, the gift of life. Now, I know it's a gift that we often take for granted, and we sometimes don't fully understand until we lose different aspects of it, right? You don't really know what health is about until you become unhealthy. You don't know what youth is about until you get to be 50 years old and try to climb a tree, right, Sammy? These are things that we take for granted. Believe me, 60, picking up all those blocks left a little bit of a dent on me too. We don't understand those things until we experience them, right? But the truth is, excuse me, the truth is life is a gift. It is a gift. It's a gift to be opened. It's a gift to be enjoyed. God has given us life. Jesus said He has given us life, and He has given it what? Abundantly. He came that we might live abundantly. We all agree with that, right? So we all have something to be thankful for about our mother, don't we? No matter what our relationship was or what our relationship wasn't, we have something to be grateful for. We were given a mother. A mother gave us life. Every one of us has something to be thankful for. So, not discounting that not all of us have the same memories or mother and child relationships. I'm not discounting that. Let me say this as well. Our past need not dictate our future. If your past is dictating your future, stop. Stop. Give it to the Lord. Your past need not dictate your future. Life in its very nature brings with it opportunity to overcome with every new day that it brings. I thought about it as I was preparing this week. I thought, well, Scarlett O'Hara, what did she say? Tomorrow is another day. And it absolutely is. with this gift of life that God has given us, and with the way He's set up our universe and our planet, every day begins anew. We have an opportunity every day to enjoy this life that He's given us. Every day brings another opportunity to overcome. And Christian life, even more so, because God's grace can and will overcome any and every obstacle in our life. God's grace can and will overcome any and every obstacle in our life. If. Talked about this morning with the kids in Sunday school. If. And it's a huge if. If we will let or allow it to. Church, do we believe that? It's the truth according to God's word. His grace can overcome anything. Scripture says we can do some things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Scripture says we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. His grace can overcome anything in our life. It doesn't matter the size of the mountain. It makes no difference to God at all. At all. It makes no difference how deep the valley is. At all. We can overcome it through Jesus Christ. If. When things happen, we start to understand how big that if is, don't we? The things that Deb and I have went through the last year, we begin to understand how big that if can be. But that doesn't change who God is. He is who He is. He is exactly who He said He was and is. His grace can overcome any obstacle if we will allow it to. And just like I told the kids this morning, He doesn't force it on us. That's why that if is so big. Got a muscle there to just knot it up. He doesn't force it on us. He loves us so much that He lets us be in control of that if. He does. I likened it to us looking down at an anthill, and I asked them, what would you do? Would you just start stomping out ants? Imagine. I mean, it's the same perspective. God looks down at us like that. We should be as insignificant as one of those little insects, but we're not. He loves us so much that He gives us the choice. If we choose, if we so choose, His grace can overcome any obstacle in our life. But we have to understand it is our choice. We talked about that this morning. We can choose to let God be God of our life, and we can grow in grace. Or we can get bitter, can't we? And we can get hard. We can let our heart be hardened by circumstances. And we can grow mean. And we can grow away. But we have to understand it is our choice. It's a big if. We make it big. The truth is, we need to understand that most of all. We make it big. Our circumstances don't. Our circumstances matter little to God. And I don't mean He doesn't care. I mean He's not overcome by them. We shouldn't be either. So no matter what our relational or a life experience is or has been, whether we acknowledge it or not, our physical life, which has been given to us through God's design, has also given us an opportunity to be with God for all eternity. The most wonderful aspect of life is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. I love that part most of all. But that the world through Him might be saved. The most wonderful aspect of life is those two verses. Each and every one of us can not only experience God's grace, but we can experience through all eternity because of the life, and if you will, because of the life that our mother has given us. So every one of us has something to be grateful for this morning. With that thought in mind this morning, I want to look into God's word at two very different examples of motherhood, or at least I think they're different examples of motherhood. But along with the differences, I think we'll also see what these two moms have in common with every one of us here today. First, let's look at Genesis 4, verses 1 and 2. Now Adam knew his wife, knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Then let's look at Luke 2, 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us. Father, we thank you for this life that you've given us and the vast opportunities that come with it. We thank you, Lord, for mom. We thank you for motherhood. We thank you that you've designed us the way you have. I pray, Lord, and it's my heart's desire that every one of us here today would realize exactly what our moms have given us. They've given us first and foremost life. Now I understand, Father, not all of us have the same relationships, but Lord, all of us have something to be grateful for. Each and every one of us here this morning have an opportunity to know you and to know you throughout eternity. Lord, there is no gift. There is no gift like that. Nothing compares to what you've done for us. Nothing compares to your sacrifice. Nothing compares to your grace. Lord, may we see that more clearly today. May you be lifted up in this place. May we all draw closer to you and closer to one another. Lord, may we be the people that you've called us to be. May we be in one mind and one accord. We've talked about it so much recently. Lord, we pray that we would be the church and the body that you've appointed us to be, that we would do the work that you've appointed to us. Lord, each and every one of us, it's my heart's desire that we would stand before you and here enter in that good and faithful servant. Lord, there's no greater reward. We love you this morning, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd have your way here today, that your spirit would minister to us as only he can. And we give you the praise and the glory for it all, for it's in Christ's name, your name, Lord Jesus, that we ask. Amen. These are definitely two very different women, aren't they? From two very different times, two very different environments. Yet they're both moms, aren't they? Both of them. Both of them love their children. I know their stories are probably familiar to all of us, but do you think we've ever tried to see or imagine their story from their perspective? Have you ever imagined, ladies, to be one of these two moms? Perspective is a funny thing, isn't it? It's kind of like that old colorful joke, and we probably all know it, and I won't tell it, about opinions. We all mostly have just one. We all mostly have just one perspective, don't we? We all mostly think that ours is the only one that matters, don't we? You know, perspective is one of the biggest differences that we have. It's one of the biggest things that divides church bodies, any group for that matter. We all tend to see things with one set of eyes, don't we? And we all tend to see it from our own perspectives. Our perspectives divide us most of the time, don't they, as human beings? We talked about this last Wednesday night, I believe it was. And with that being said, this Wednesday night we will cancel our Wednesday night Bible study. I knew there was something else I was forgetting. But we talked about it this last Wednesday night. What would have to happen for revival to happen around us, or even within us, or within this body? One mind, one accord. Thank you. We have to become one mind, one accord. What is that mind and accord? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? We all have to try to see things through his perspective. Something to think about, isn't it? Did you know that that attitude of having our own perspective, just like that old joke about opinions, did you know that's not the attitude that we as Christians should have? That's not our attitude. It should not be our attitude. We should not see things simply our own way. God's certainly given it to us enough for us to know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I've said that so much, I think I could quote it backwards. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's coming together in one mind, one accord. Trusting on him. Seeing things through his eyes. Truthfully, that's all we as Christians have to do in order to be the vessel that he's purposed us to be. Those two verses, those three verses of Scripture, that's it. If we just accomplished that, we would be the vessels, the Christians, the church that he's called us to be. If we would adhere to that, the world around us would see the reality of who he was too. Because they would see people, not necessarily General Baptists or Baptists or even Christians that matter, but people who are sold out to Jesus Christ. People who are living for Jesus Christ. Not seeing things with my own opinion or my own perspective, but seeing things through his eyes. If we saw things through his eyes when we looked at the newspaper every day, we'd cry. We watched the news at night, we'd cry. That's what he did. We saw people and the result that sin was having in their life, it would break our heart. And we'd want to love them the way he loves them. It's hard to understand that it could be that simple, isn't it? It's really hard to understand for me, too. I mean, this is a two-edged sword. But church, it's that simple. If my perspective, and if your perspective adhered to those two verses of Scripture, we would be the vessels that he's purposed us to be. We would be the moms. We would be the dads. We'd be the pastors. We'd be the deacons. We'd be the church members that he has purposed us to be. Is there anything else that we want to be this morning? If you know Christ as your Savior, there's nothing else that you want to be, is there? It's that simple. It's that simple. Not seeing things my way. Not seeing you. You not seeing me through our own perspective. Us not seeing the world through our own perspective. But us seeing the world through Christ's eyes. Not leaning on our own understanding. But looking to him. The author and the finisher of our faith. I can't love God and Christ above all else, and my neighbor as myself, if I'm walking and are living by and in my own perspective. I cannot do it. None of us can do it. The only way we can do it is to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge him. That means look to him, lean upon him, and he shall direct our paths. If he directs our paths, if he is directing your path, you're going to know joy. You're going to know peace beyond the comprehension of the world, beyond your own comprehension. You've heard it said, experience is often the best teacher. Well, one time God allowed me to experience a very, very painful lesson on human perspective. And though I'd never volunteer for another, are never recommended to either any of you, I have been blessed by the experience over time, because in reality it was the first time I ever saw perspective for what it really is. It's ours. That's what perspective is. It's ours. It's not always the truth. It's just how we perceive it. And God allowed me to see that. He really did. Sit across from the table from people I love dearly, still love dearly. And our perspectives were so far off, I just couldn't believe it. But he allowed me to see that maybe I'm not right either. you know? That's how we should see ourselves. In reality, we shouldn't always trust ourselves, because we should understand that we're sinners saved by grace and that our nature is still to sin. Does that mean everything I said last week about right is right and wrong is wrong was wrong? Absolutely not. It does mean, as Christians, you and I need to ascertain whether the right we're standing on or the right wrong we're standing against, whether we're doing so because of God's truth and not simply our own perception. There are some sins out there in the world that really bother us, don't they? We have to be careful. We have to be careful that we're not much more judgmental toward those than we are the sins that we kind of rate as small. Because in truth, I don't believe God does. I think he said it's all sin. He said none of it is going to enter in. None of it is going to come into before his presence. I believe if it does, it's going to be gone. I think the only way we're going to get in is grace covering every little inch of us. That's the only way we're going to stand before a holy, righteous God. His grace covering us. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful that the side we're standing on and the wrong we're standing against, that we're doing so because of God's truth and simply not our own perception. If we will do so, we will see God in Christ and our neighbors as they truly are, and we will love them both. Lost people blinded by and dying in sin, a creator and a savior who made a way that they and that we might see and live. All right. Since she was first, let's attempt to look at and understand Eve's perspective first. We really don't know how old Eve was when she became a mom. But we do know that her and her husband had a really great place to live. They had an apartment and a pad like no other. Never has been another like it. At least it was that way before trouble came. Bible tells us trouble came, and it continues to come even to us and to a lot of homes and marriages, unfortunately. Trouble came in the form of a serpent. You know the story, right? His name was and is the devil, Lucifer, Satan. Some call him Beelzebub. But his nicknames are liar, deceiver, and the father of it, or even maybe a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's still devouring people today. But to keep it simple, his allure or his M.O. is simply sin. And we need to understand none of us are exempt from it. Every one of us are prone to it. That is his number one weapon against us, because we sin so willingly. So the liar convinced this mom to eat some bad fruit. Don't know if she bought it at the food giant or not, but it was bad. Which she then gave to her husband, which in turn brought all kinds of hurt and heartache into their lives, didn't it? Because they were outside of grace. They were no longer in a relationship with God. And it brought about death into their life. But other than it being the first time, it's really no different than what we see happening in the headlines all around us every day. Every day. A person leans upon their own understanding. They believe a lie instead of the truth. They do some things that they shouldn't do. Because misery loves company, they invite someone else into their issue. And before you know it, they've lost everything. Their lives and their families are destroyed. So Eve's literally out in the wilderness, trying to make it in a world. And it couldn't have happened at a worse time, because they no sooner went to Kohl's and got some clothes to wear than she becomes a mom for the first time. They have pretty good sales at Kohl's sometimes. She hardly gets her first son, Cain, out of diapers, and she has another son, Abel. And as so often happens in troubled homes, tragedy strikes. The boys are hardly grown when Cain becomes so jealous of Abel's abilities that Eve experiences what every mom fears most. And the world witnesses its first murder. Bad times. Really don't know much about the rest of Eve's life, other than that she had more children, because we're here. And the hardships and the curse of sin continued again because we're here. Let's take a moment and try to see and understand Mary's life from her perspective. Mary was probably about 12 to 14 years old when she became a mom. And that's even young by today's standards. It was no doubt a very troubling and a very trying time in her young life. I can see her now sitting in a room one night watching Disney Channel, or maybe she was listening to some young Jewish heartthrob on her phone, thinking about what being betrothed to Joseph really meant. Kind of like being engaged, but you don't get to pick. When an angel shows up and explains that she has found favor with God, so much favor that she's been chosen to be the mother of his only begotten son. She tries to tell the angel that this can't happen because she's barely betrothed, and the angel tells her not to sweat it because with God all things are possible. Then he goes on to give her some reassurance and tells her that her older cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with a son too. So Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Church, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly how we are to behave as Christians. How amazing for this little girl to say that. Let it be to me according to your word. Here's something to think about concerning these two moms. God was Lord of their lives, whether they acknowledged it or not, wasn't he? Mary acknowledged it, Eve didn't. Eve made some mistakes. But the truth is, he was still Lord of their lives, wasn't he? He was still God, still on the throne. What am I saying? Was it any less according to his word with Eve than it was to Mary? Mary gave in to it and said, "Let it be according to your word." The truth is, it was according to his word with Mary too. Well, I mean, with Eve too. He told Eve exactly what was going to happen, and it did. He told her why she shouldn't eat it. He told her what it would bring, and it did. It was according to his word with both of them, wasn't it? But one of them accepted it, and one resisted. So the very next day when Mary goes to visit her dear old cousin, walks into Elizabeth's home and says, "Hey, John the Baptist practically does a backflip in Elizabeth's tummy." That'd be probably pretty hard at her age. The old mom is filled with the Holy Spirit and confirms everything that the angel told Mary. Isn't it amazing how God does that? If we'll put forth that measure of faith, he'll show up to reward that measure of faith. He offers us an opportunity to grow in our faith, and by stepping out on faith, when we do, he shows up to honor it. But on the other side of the coin, if we don't step out, we never realize that blessing. We need to understand that as well. Since we're attempting to see and understand Mary's perspective, Mom, can you imagine being given the honor, the privilege, the responsibility of being the mother of God's only son? Just think for a moment about that Mother's Day gift. So Mary stays with her cousin for 3 months, returns to her own house. Scripture doesn't say she was there at John's birth, but it had to be close because 6 and 3 are 9. The next time we see Mary, her and Joseph, to whom she's betrothed, are on their way to Bethlehem to be registered. I guess you couldn't email it in like you could today. It's there that we see her give birth to Christ, and while there in the stable, some shepherds show up and bring more confirmation that she has just brought God's son into the world. When Joseph and her in the temple, adhering to Jewish custom, later, and an old fellow named Simeon shows up and confirms yet again exactly who this baby is, while proclaiming who Jesus was, what he'd come to do, he also warns Mary of her future as the mother of God's son. This should give us some perspective on how it would have been to have been the mother of Jesus Christ. Luke 2, 34, 35, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The next time we see Mary, she's back in Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. Jesus is 12 years old. After the festival's over, her and Joseph head home thinking that Jesus is in the back seat, only to turn around and go back when they find out he's not there. There are other instances where we see Mary dealing with the normal concerns of being a mom. At a wedding reception, where they're about to run out of refreshments. Again, when the crowds at his revivals begin to become so large, she's worried Jesus is going to be squashed. And then yet again, when she watched him helplessly on a hillside as he hung on a cross, and he commanded his best friend to look after her. Moms are important, aren't they? Two very different moms living in two very different times in our world's history, and yet they still have things in common, don't they? Both of them brought life into the world. One, the mother of us all. The other, the mother of the one who created us all. Both had sons who died because of sin. You ever thought about that? Both had sons who died because of sin. Eve's son died as a result of the original sin that she helped bring into the world. Mary's son died as a result of original sin too. But it was the reason that he came into the world. He came to pay the price for every one of our sins. Remember that most important opportunity that life offers each one of us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This morning, can or will we thank God for our mom? We should. But because she's given us something no one else could. She's given us life. No matter what her or your circumstances were or are, she has given you the opportunity to live, the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best opportunity life gives each and every one of us. As different as we all are, and we are very different perspectives too, don't we? There's one thing we have in common, from Adam and Eve all the way through to the last person that's ever going to be born. We all have a Savior and a God who loves us, gave himself for us. And we all need to take advantage of the opportunity that this life gives us to know Jesus Christ as ours, as our Savior. He came that we might have life abundantly. I did a lot of crazy things when I was young. Some of them were enjoyable. Most of them I'm not very proud of. I never knew what life was until I met Jesus Christ. It's the truth. I never knew what life was, what it could be, until I met Jesus. For the first time in my life, I felt as good as anyone on the planet. The Son of God paid for my sin. That's what he did for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have that opportunity. We're going to have a song. We call it an invitation because that's what it is. It's an invitation to accept the opportunity that God has given every one of us. We're here and we have life. Our being here proves that. We have something to be grateful for. We should be grateful for our mothers. No matter what our relationship, we should be grateful. She gave us life. But life gives us opportunity to know Christ and to live forever. Would you all stand, please?